pray when you can worry. The only that your prayer can change God's mind regarding your circumstances. Now, I'm not talking about God changing his mind about the decrees or anything like that. I'm talking about as we walk each and every day in God's providence. I'm reminded of a situation that happened to me back in the day when I was walking in my wild career. I got in a situation where I lost my driver's license. And my mother, bless her heart, was really concerned about that. And I went for several years with Betty can't do all drive. And this went on for a while, but my mother said, "I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you." And she meant it. She was a praying woman.
Yeah.
Anyway, I decided one day just to go down to the DPS and see what I could do. And it turns out, they didn't even know who it was. I gave them my old number. We don't have that. Everything's in the computer now. I got my license back. Called Mom. I said, "Mom, you still praying for me?" She said, "Yes, I am, honey." I said, "You can stop." I think about how that Hezekiah, who was sick, nigh to death, the Lord sent Isaiah to him and said, "Get your affairs in order. You're going to die." Hezekiah began to pray. He prayed with tears. And God changed his mind. Now, if we don't believe that God can change our circumstances, why do we pray? We pray and believe that we should pray from the heart. God knows that you. And I love this. I'll probably talk about it for the day I die. God knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. And we should serve him from our heart.
Amen.
There's a text of scripture down in Matthew chapter 15. And I'm just going to pull a little bit out of here. The Lord can call somebody a hypocrite. I can't. I might think it, but you know, the old saying, one is going out, three's coming back.
Yeah.
To some degree or another, we all have some hypocrisy.
Amen.
Yes, we are pretending to be something that we're not.
That's right.
We all do it, but I'm not going to call anyone a hypocrite, but the Lord knows the hearts of men, sir. He knows everything about it. But here he says, now that the Pharisees have made the word of God of none effect by the tradition. He says, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their heart far from me." He says, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." We find that all around us today.
Right.
The denominations of the world, they teach for doctrine the commandments of men. This reminds me of a text in Matthew chapter 7. When those people were going through the motions, they said, "Lord, Lord, haven't we done cast out devils in thy name, we've done wonderful," all these things they were boasting.
Yeah.
By the way, I think that in itself is gets people in trouble.
Sure.
When they begin to boast about what they have done. Yeah. Right? But he goes on to tell them, "I never knew you." Now that's see, you got some people going through the motion. what's being neglected here is the relationship. I know that other people beat us to death, but we do have a personal relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
Or we should,
yes.
Or else we're just going through the motions. Just coming through the door, putting money in the slot, you know, singing a few songs, going home, going about your way. That's not it. That doesn't cut it. Even though we're commanded to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. We're commanded to do this. And I thank God that we have this, this time of fellowship, and
Amen.
We can come together. And I trust to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
Not in there's no such thing as in the spirit in falsehood, or the flesh in the truth. The spirit and the truth. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth.
Amen.
So, our relationship should be from the heart. Remember when God told Saul or told Samuel, "Go and be a king," and He sent him to the house of Jesse, and he had eight sons. Seven were there. David was not there. He was out tending the flock. But Samuel said, "Surely this is the one." No, that's not the one God told him. He says, "Men look on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart."
Amen, brother.
I believe that one of the things he says here, he says, "For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts." One place he said, it's not that which goes in, it's that which comes out that defiles the man.
Right.
He says, "Out of the heart proceed, out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies." Now, we're talking about, by nature, we have a heart stone. And God, when we're born of the Spirit of God, God takes that heart out and gives us a heart of flesh.
Yeah.
He writes His laws in our hearts and our mind. And we'll be to Him a God, a people, and He'll be our God. But that old heart, you know, you see the bumper sticker that says, "Give your," and a picture of a heart to Jesus. Well, that old heart, He doesn't want it. Because He says the heart is the sequel of all things and desperately wicked. That's man in a state of nature. He can't, God's not in all His thoughts. He won't come to the Lord. He may go through the motions, but like I said, what this is all about is a personal relationship with our God. That He walks with us each and every day, and that He's aware of us 24/7, 365 of everything that we stand in need of. And there's not anything that He doesn't know or understand. I was thinking about another text, this God that we serve, how great, and He's greater than our circumstances.
Yeah.
And whatever you're praying for, you pray for from the heart, not to consume it upon your lust, but seek God's will in your life. Thy will, not mine, Lord. Thy will be done. And that's a hard one for us.
It is.
I will be done. So I can only talk about what's on my mind, right? But should I begin to talk about something that's not on my mind, I'll certainly make the mess. Next comes to mind. I think about the greatness of this God that we serve, and how that even if He knows the thoughts and intents of our heart, He knows everything about everyone. He doesn't have anything to learn. If He notes a sparrow that falls, He said, You're okay because you're much more valued than many sparrows.
Right.
If we from our heart seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things will be added. What things? Food, clothing, raiment. You know, He knows that we have need of those things. But we're to put Him first and His kingdom first. But He does not say, seek ye only the kingdom of God.
Right.
Seek ye first. He knows that there are things that we have to do in this life.
Amen.
Yeah. God establishes the work of our hands. He gives us the ability to take care of our families. But I think about how that He knows everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, well, this may be sound like a silly illustration, but if He wanted to, He could name every blade of grass that exists.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not that it's relevant, mm-hmm. but if He wanted to, I mean, I believe that He knows where every raindrop that's ever fell out of the sky, where it's at, how many times it's evaporated, where it goes.
Yeah.
I believe that the basis for that, He says in Ephesians chapter 3, that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So what problem is it that you have that He can't solve?
Amen.
If you think, well, Lord, you could take care of it this way, He'll do it some other way. But He knows. He knows what we stand in need of. So we have our priorities.
Yes. Yes.
God first. And He says in one place, in the book of Luke, He says that just a man hate his father and his mother.
Yeah.
We go, you know, why? Because he can't be my disciple. And his own life. Unless we hate our own life, we can't be His disciple. Now, in that instance, it needs to love us.
Right.
We love God, and we love God, the Lord our God, with all our heart, our soul, our strength, our mind.
Mm-hmm.
Then we love our neighbor
as
we love ourselves. Now, I don't want to get into the self-love thing, because that usually leads into the ego and the pride and all that kind of business. But we're to take care of our temples that God has given us.
Yes.
Remember that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which God that dwells in us. Then if you stop and just be quiet and consider that the God of glory is dwelling inside of you. I like it.
I've been thinking about different things, and I have my own way, I guess, of trying to understand them.
You know, not does God only know everything, He's everywhere.
Yeah. Amen.
Nowhere, He's present everywhere, and He's absent nowhere.
That's right.
David talks about it. Even if He made His bed in hell, He's not there. And one thing I know is that fires of hell, they need fuel, and they need air and a spark. So, while I'm here, don't let me pass it up. Don't appreciate what you're saved from, how are you going to appreciate your salvation?
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Amen.
I believe, in my experience, I believe that I've been saved from a burning hell. I saw myself for 3.5 years spinning and going to that place and flat on my face crying out to God for mercy. Help me. And He led me to the foot of the cross.
Where
I see for my Savior.
Yeah.
And died for one such as I. And I came to agree with that song that we sing, if my soul were sent to hell, thy righteous law would preserve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I came to that conclusion. I appreciate the grace of God. I appreciate the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's finished. It's done. As I told you the last time that I attempted to speak to you, the destination is secure. Nothing can take you out of the Father's hand. You're kept by the power of God.
Yeah.
Now focus on the journey. Rest. Enter into that rest. that Paul talks about in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. Enter into that rest. And he said, and it seems almost contradictory, but he says, labor to enter into that rest.
Yes.
But we can find rest in what the Lord has done. It says, he, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Didn't say he'll try. He did it. That's three shall, by the way. Are you a three shall Baptist? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save. Oh, there's three of them in there. I can't even quote right now. There's three of them. I'm a three shell Baptist. And while I'm here, people call us hard shells. S-H-E-L-L, like the shell of a turtle. That's not where it came from. It's because the ministers of old time bore down on the word shall. He shall. Thou shall. He shall. He shall save his people. They bore down on the shell. That's why we call our shells, but people have misconstrued them over the years. I believe my God is able. He's able to save to the utmost. He's able to. Doesn't matter where you are. And by the way, I'm going to step out a little bit. Talk about belief. I think He can save you regardless of what you believe. Think about if he saved the people out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe, don't you know there's going to be some Muslims in there, some Hindus, and some Buddhists?
Yes.
And some whatever. Hybrid kinds of facilities. Don't you think that he's able?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure, brother.
He's able to save the others. And we find it, we talk about belief. Well, if it's just believing, there's a lot of things. Now, believing that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, absolutely, amen. How can we walk together? Can we be agreed? Let's walk with Him. Let's come into agreement with His Word.
Yes.
And we accept Him, His person and His work, because we are His children, not in order to become His children.
Right.
That's what the world does. They got the cart before the horse. We belong to Him. lost my train of thought. Some of you know there was a track in there. There's a track in the road board.
Yes, I see it.
You know that He's able.
Yeah.
Remember the rich young ruler? He believed, but he wasn't willing to give up what he had. And he went away sorrowful. But the truth of the matter is the Bible says that Jesus loved him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, brother.
Yeah. And once the Lord sets His love upon you, He'll never let you go.
Right.
The love that will not let you go. And then the disciples said, who then can be saved? He said, but then this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible.
Yeah.
We find that Lot was a person. We know that the scripture says that his righteous soul was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Some of you probably worked with some of those people. I know where I used to work. There was a man up there that had the filthiest mouth I ever heard. And every time the Navy needed a new customer, they called him up. give us a new one. It was bad. But Lot was called righteous. He would have the imputed righteousness of God. There's another place, Romans chapter 2. Paul asked the question, what if some did not believe? Does their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? You think your unbelief is going to overthrow the faithfulness of God?
No, sir.
speaking of, this is the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what I'm going to read. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be called. I will set his hand also in the sea and his right hand upon the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Now, some of this is David, and some of it doesn't extend. Here's what I want to give you. Also, I will make him my firstborn. Higher than the kings of Israel. Now, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? That's Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
I will make him my firstborn, my only, his only begotten Son. Where am I at now? Psalms 89. Psalms 89, verse 27. He says, My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed. Now, who might that be? He speaks with the power of God. The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear that live. Remember, his seed remaineth in us, and we cannot sin. 1 John 3:8, whosoever believeth in him, I can't get the quote, but it says, you cannot sin. And that's talking about the Spirit only. That's not talking about the flesh. But the same John says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. But we receive, we are his seed. He says, His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. Now here's what I want to give. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, and by the way, I suggest you don't do this. He says, Then will I visit their transgression with their rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take for him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. God is faithful to his promises, to his covenant. We may step out of the straight and narrow, get in the broad way. God will chasten us. He says, if you're not partakers of chastisement, then your bastards are not saints. For as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten.
Yeah.
So, even though we may be unfaithful, God is faithful. He will always be faithful.
Amen.
I do not encourage unbelief.
Yes, sir.
I say, believe the things this book talks about, the things this book says. Believe in the finished work and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe these things, for they're true. Walk in them. Find rest. And focus on the journey.
Yeah.
There's another place over in the book of John. John 2nd chapter. Let's examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. Excuse me. Examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. We examine ourselves, we judge ourselves, and we all know ourselves. be in the faith. Judge yourself. If, you know, if we, you know, if we judge ourselves, he said we won't be judged. And by the way, not all judgment, when we read in the Word of God, is about eternity.
Right.
It's a lot about right now.
That's right.
We stand before that bema seat every day. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them. And needed not that any should testify of it, for he knew what was in them. He knows their hearts.
Yeah.
They were just falling to see the miracles, and others falling for the loaves and the fishes.
Yeah.
Remember when he fed that 5,000? He said, the many turned and walked with him no more. Many of his disciples, believers, turned, they walked with him no more. Then he turned to the 12 and said, will you go away also? The thing is, he was preaching hard doctrine. And that's doctrine that can only be received from the good ground of the heart. And we talk about the heart and how that sower sowed seed, and that is the work. The written word, not the spoken or not the living word, but the written word. We sow this seed, and where does it fall? It falls over, falls by the wayside, and the fowls of the air, and those fowls usually represent Satan and his angels. Fall by the wayside, and we're sitting here thinking about the Dallas Cowboys. Come on. Right. Oh, no, it happens. It's happened to me. Some fall on stony ground, doesn't have any earth. Some fall among the thorns, and they choke the word. Some falls on good ground.
Yeah.
Where God is going to be reaching 30, 60, 100 fold. We need to bring forth fruit from the heart. So, Paul says, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without them? We're encouraged to believe. Another place Paul says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, for he cannot deny himself. What do you mean himself? His body. He can't deny himself. I say it does. It does go beyond what we, beyond the surface. Just believe. Because he said the devil will also believe in nature.
Yeah.
I tell you what, an altar call can't open your heart. An altar call can't plow the ground of your heart. It's just something
right.
And if you have a desire to walk with the Lord, if you want it, it's evidence you already got to have the answer.
Amen.
If you want it, you already got it. If you don't want it, can't get it. You belong to the Lord. He says, you know, those people in Matthew 7 that were boasting about what they did, he called them workers of iniquity. Yeah, it's going through the motion. You honor me with your mouth and your lips, but your heart's far from you. You're all dying. Paul says in another place, I'm not going to give you all the references. You can go up front. Remember, Hymenaeus and Philetus were teaching some that the resurrection overthrew the faith of some.
Yeah.
In other words, these people, they believed.
Mm-hmm.
They had faith. The first faith comes out of the way. Where's it coming from? I'm going to use that illustration. I love it. Does an apple pop into midair and a tree grow in under it? No, really, seriously, does it?
No.
It doesn't. The
tree comes first, then the fruit.
Right. Amen.
Faith is a fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
And there is no such thing as spiritual abortion. Once you're born of the Spirit of God, you have eternal life abiding in you. And nothing is going to change that.
Right.
Because you're one of His. But your name was written in that book of life before the foundation of the world. At some point in time, like Paul said, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, he called me by His grace, that He might make His Son. That's when you're going to be born again.
Yeah.
When it pleases God.
When it pleases God.
Yes.
But they taught that the resurrection was past. It overthrew the faith of some.
Yeah.
It says, nevertheless, there it is again. Foundation of God, stand assured, having this seal. The Lord knoweth him that are healed. You can fool me, I can probably fool you, but you can't fool the Lord. He knows them that are healed. Now, that word do speaks to intimacy. Now, I'm not talking about intimacy the way that you and I know it or understand it. But this is simply talking about serving God in your heart. When nobody's around, when nobody's there to hear you sing, when you're all by yourself, you think, the Lord's there. And you're doing what you like from the heart. Because you have conviction of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He says, nevertheless, foundation of God stands sure. Even though someone would try to overthrow your faith or convert you to some other faith system or belief system, you still belong to the Lord.
Right.
Amen.
You may suffer if you get out into that. You know, as I said, that straight and narrow, it goes right down the middle of the Broadway. On the left and on the right, there's a ditch. We stay in that straight and narrow. He says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads unto life. And few No, we know the Lord gave His life a ransom for many. But there's few that find that straight and narrow. You ever thought of a remnant according to the election of grace? That's a small part of the whole. I believe it's the Baptist Church. It's by grace that we're saved.
Amen.
It's not according to anything that we do,
amen,
that we don't do, anything we think.
Right.
It's by the grace of God plus nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good news. Latch on to it. All your works or all your righteousnesses by nature are as filthy rags. The only thing about that is you gotta, I have to pay to get them hauled off. put them in the trash can. But all our righteousnesses are as clean rags. But He, the Lord Jesus Christ, we plead His blood and His righteousness that we might walk before Him, walk in love, to do those things which are pleasing in His sight. When we press the Word, mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Not as though we're going to attain, but we'll keep pressing forward. If we're not pressing forward, we're backsliding. It's a tough road. That narrow, that straight gate, that means difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you this much. I can't speak for you, but I don't mean to go back to this hard. It's difficult. We're ridiculed, we're put down, we're called cult, and every negative thing you can think about. That's fine with me, because I meet the Lord. I come in expectation
right.
to meet the Lord.
Amen.
And I find the Lord here.
Right.
And it doesn't necessarily mean so I can be here. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. I'd rather be back here greeting people coming in
than to have the full rights and have all the authority and power in the tents of the wicked. Season and we receive instruction.
Yeah.
Right.
And nevertheless, the foundation of God should. You can't shake that foundation.
No, you cannot.
It's sure, it's steadfast.
Amen.
It's immovable. Mm-hmm. And that brings, I got a flood of thoughts with my brother subject is plugged in. I get to it. Be a good parent.
Yeah.